You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
I'm going to pray, and as I do, you can turn to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to start at verse 28, and we're going to roll through to verse 24, and we're going to talk about them pigs. Someone say, talk about them pigs. Awesome. Let's pray. Lord God, we don't just want information today, Lord God. We want transformation in the name of Jesus. And God, I know that information just brings knowledge, and we know that knowledge just puffs up. But Lord God, that when we come into your presence and we ask you to move, that Lord God, there's transformation. It's not just knowledge puffing up, but it's a changed life. And Lord God, we don't want to preach to puff up, Lord God. We want to preach to see lives changed. And so God, I pray today that people would receive your word, that lives would be changed, that people who already knew this stuff would be reminded and inspired to live in it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's talk about them pigs. Verse 28. And when he came to the other side, to the country of Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met him coming out of the tombs, so fierce that no one could pass that way. And behold, they cried out, "What have you to do with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now a herd of many pigs was feeding at some distance from them, and the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out of these men, send us away into the herd of pigs." And he said to them, "Go." So they came out of the men, and they went into the pigs. And behold, the whole herd of pigs rushed down the steep bank and into the sea and drowned in the waters. And I know every Iowan is crying right now. Y'all are going, "No, not the bacon." The herdsmen fled, and going into the city, they told everyone, especially what happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, all the city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to leave their region. So what have we got here? We've got some dudes that are bat crap crazy, right? Two dudes, they're bat crap crazy, right? They're going psycho Billy Ninja at anyone who walks past their tombs. These crazy demon-possessed dudes are so crazy that no one can get anywhere near where they are. You walk past and they're snarling at you, kind of like your husband when he's hungry. You know what I mean, don't you? You know, men don't get hungry, they get hangry. Now Jesus is coming along, and the demons in these guys are like, "Dang it! We've heard about this bloke. He comes and he ruins everything for us. This punk's going to make us leave, I know it." So they're like, "Hey Jesus, can you cast us into the pigs?" And for some reason that I'll never know for sure, Jesus is like, yeah, go. I'm like, has anyone ever thought, like, why did Jesus let them go in the pigs? Why? I don't know, he's just feeling generous that day. Go have the pigs. I'm like, he tricked them. Because then those pigs also went psycho Billy Ninja and flew off the cliff. Demons are like, man, he tricked us. Now the pigs are dead. Now the villagers all hear about this, and they come back to Jesus, and they ask him to leave. See, they'd gotten comfortable with the demons. See, they would rather be comfortable with demons than inconvenienced by Jesus. Did you catch that? They'd rather be comfortable with demons than inconvenienced by Jesus. That's amazing, isn't it? What an incredible thought. But as I look through my own life, I see so many examples and times where Jesus would ask something of me, but I'd rather be comfortable in my apathy or in my sin or in my life than inconvenienced by what Jesus wants to do in my life, through my life, or around my life. But how many of you know that the inconvenience of Jesus always actually work out to bless us, whereas the comforts of the world without him always end up hurting us? It reminds me a little bit of Jonah. Jonah hears from God, "Go to Nineveh." Now, if you've not heard of Jonah is, it's a book, and he's a man in the Old Testament before Jesus. Actually, Jonah's a great topic that would fit into old school Jesus. See, Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the fish. Jonah'd be like, "Hey, Jesus, I've been where you are. I had to leave the comforts of my life and go do something inconvenient. Jesus is like, yeah, me too. Left heaven, come down here. Left the comfort to come hang out with you punks. Jonah be like, yeah, well, I had to spend 3 days in a fish. Jesus is like, I had to spend 3 days dead. Type of Christ. This story of the pigs, doesn't it, remind you a bit about that, how people get so comfortable in their apathy or so comfortable in disobeying Jesus that they don't want to deal with the inconvenience of following Jesus. Jonah, God says, go to Nineveh. So Jonah, not wanting to be inconvenienced by God, doesn't do it. In fact, Jonah was so committed to not doing what God wanted, the dude straight up went 2,000 miles further than where God wanted him to go. 500 miles to Nineveh, or 2,500 miles past Nineveh. Man, we've got some creative ways of disobeying God, don't we? Sometimes we can put a lot of effort into doing the opposite of what God wants, can't we, right? I can anyway. We either want to stay in our struggles, keep our frogs, yeah? Listen to that sermon, One More Night with the Frogs. You should download that sermon. We want to hang out with our demons or our apathy or our frogs or our struggles, and sometimes we'd rather that than be inconvenienced by our relationship with Jesus. And we can get real creative about how we can avoid what God wants us to do, and we can spend so much more effort, even more effort, avoiding Him than we would have used if we just obeyed Him. Some of you have been running from the calling of God your whole life. It's time to turn around and start to embrace the calling. The calling of your life might just be something simple. It might not be, hey, go to Nineveh. It might not be, hey, move to New Zealand. If it was that, you should run the other way. We'll just stop a little short and go to Australia and be blessed. Amen. There was a time in my life that I don't talk about a lot. I went to college for a couple of years, and then there was a gap of a year before I went back and finished college. I don't talk about it a lot. It wasn't a particularly smart time of my life. I lived in Adelaide for a period of time. I was studying ministry training and going to college there. And after a couple of years, I was looking for an excuse to get out of college and stop this ministry train from arriving. Mind you, I did feel like the Lord was calling me to move to Wodonga and finish my college there. And I thought, fantastic, that's a great excuse to get out of Adelaide and stop this train. Now, see, Adelaide was a great place. I was in a great big church. I was even being given a little bit of influence there. I was getting recognized because we had a great big group in our youth group, and things were going really well. But there was just something in me that didn't want to keep going down that train. I was starting to feel the inconvenience of being outside of family, not having much money, having struggles, a bit of loneliness. And so when my cousin Michael called up and said he'd been praying for me and felt like the Lord said I need to move to Wodonga to finish college, I was like, sweet, God wants me out of here. Fantastic. So I had three friends pray for me, and they all said the same thing, Wodonga. And so I up and left, but I did not go to Wodonga. I stopped 160 kilometers short of Wodonga and went back to the farm. I moved home and I started working for a farmer who lived 15 kilometers. I don't know what that is in miles, and who really cares, right? Imperial metric. Metric's where it's at, right? So I went about 15 kilometers down the road from where I grew up, and I started working on a mate's farm. I became friends with the son of the owner of the farm. His name was Loren, L-O-R-E-N, and I enjoyed working the farm. I felt at home there. Farm life was easy for me. I felt comfortable there. I had some issues while I was there. I was battling some of my own demons, so to speak. But I always had this nagging guiding inside me saying, you just got to move to Wodonga. You move 735 kilometers to the farm. God wanted me to go the extra 160 kilometers and go to Bible college and finish college. But I'd become comfortable. I became comfortable with my disobedience, you know. I enjoyed the routine of the farm. There ain't no more routine in the world than working on a dairy farm. I'd get up at 4 a.m. I'd get to the farm by 4:20. I'd get on the motorbike and I'd go bring them cows to the dairy. And that's what I did every morning, 4 a.m. to 4:20. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. all the days of the week. We'd milk them, we'd feed them. We'd go and inside afterwards about 8:20 and have a couple of poached duck eggs every morning on toast with salt and pepper. It was beautiful. That's what I did every day. Then we'd head out to work on the farm for 3 or 4 hours, fixing fences or repairing pipes or fixing the water kennels or cutting hay, baling hay, whatever we needed to do. Life was easy. Around lunchtime, we'd have a 3-hour break, go do whatever we want, drive into town smelling like cow poo. Wonder why people didn't want to hang out with me. Actually, that time of my life, I actually had longer hair about down here, and I bleached it, right? Totally bleached it. And then the cows changed the color of it too. You milk cows and they poo on your bleached white hair, your hair goes green. So we cut that off. I got so comfortable with my disobedience. Yeah, have you ever been there? Yeah? I got so comfortable with my apathy. I got so comfortable with my routine. And I didn't want the call of God on my life to inconvenience my life. See, I was earning nearly $1,000 a week. I had everything I wanted at the time. But moving to Wodonga would change everything. I'd have little income. I'd have to study. Blah. Gave that up a year ago, right? Not now. I do study, just for the record. I'd have to learn new things. And it took me a while to become willing to accept the inconvenience of a relationship with God. That's not to say a relationship with God isn't good. It's the best thing that'll ever happen in your life. But there will be some inconvenience to having a relationship with Jesus. There will be some inconvenience to getting around Jesus. And this is where I need you to follow me today as the band comes back up. Because we're going to spend an extra bit of time just in the presence of God and praying for people today like we did in the first service. I want you to follow me here today. Sometimes your relationship with Jesus is going to cost you something, all right? Sometimes it will cost you something. It might be less income like the villagers who lost their pigs. It might be a change of the way we speak like the villagers who knew that if they hang around Jesus after a while, he's going to help them to tell the truth. But that might bring about struggles with the things they'd already spoke about. It might be you have less time because you find yourself reading the Bible and praying and doing all these other things. It might be about the effort, the energy expelled. It might be ridicule from those around you who don't understand why you give so much of your life, time, money, and effort to Jesus and his church. It might be the unknown, you know, those unknown areas of faith where we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know why or how we'll make it happen, but we just know we have to respond and take that next step that the voice of God has spoken into our lives. Are you following me, church? But when we do step out in faith and embrace Jesus wholeheartedly and with all we have, we know that everything changes. Now, I'm not saying right now that God is like a box that you open, you get all these good little things. I'm not saying that, but I want to tell you, I got everything I ever wanted when I responded to God and allowed some inconvenience in my life. I have everything I ever wanted. Beautiful wife, great kids, a car. Didn't start this morning, but we got it going. And if you're starting to think, oh, we better get past Jesse a new car. No, it's a new car. It was just having an issue today because kids play with lights and stuff. I got everything. Have a great job, wonderful, wonderful friends and a great team of leaders around me. But you see, right now I could be milking cows. Probably have bought my own farm. I could milk cows forever. Right now I could be standing in a farm covered in poo, wondering what if only I was willing to accept the inconvenience of being around Jesus a bit more. Because when you hang out with Jesus, sometimes you got to stop and pray for a blind man. And that might make you 15 minutes late. Sometimes you got to stop and eat with a man that everyone else hates. Sometimes you might be in a crowd and see a dude in a tree, a little guy named Zacchaeus that the world hates. The voice of Jesus might speak to your heart and say, hey, everyone hates that guy. See how they're all avoiding him and mocking him and he actually is a bad guy and deserves it, but I actually want you to go hang with him. In fact, I want you to eat dinner at his house. It's a bit inconvenient, isn't it? Sometimes he tells you to turn the other cheek when someone slaps you, and then they slap you again on the other one. You don't get to do ministry without getting slapped in the cheek a few times. And then just being, then walking into the next meeting and being willing to let the next person do it too. Sometimes he takes you right into the path of a hangry, crazy, demon-possessed couple of dudes like this, where all the village is like, we don't go there, we don't go there. And the disciples are like, Jesus, they're saying we don't go there. But they go there and something miraculous happens. See, we may not always be willing to deal with the inconvenience of the stop or the small voice of God or the large and loud voice of God, whatever it is in our lives. But when you hang out with Jesus and you stop and pray for a blind man, you get to see a blind man see. Amen. That's cool, right? And when you go and hang out with a man named Zacchaeus that everyone hates and he is a bad guy, and then you pray with him, pray for him, and he sees your benevolence and he sees your love and your kind and your grace, even though he's a bad guy, something changes in his heart. God gets hold of his heart, and all of a sudden this bad guy's repaying everyone everything he did wrong, plus giving them an extra little blessing. Come on now. And sometimes when you're willing to take the inconvenience and turn the other cheek and they slap you and slap you again, eventually maybe they come back and they become one of the biggest blessings in your life and ministry. That's happened for me. People slap me again. I still love them, and then they come and become a wonderful part of my life. And sometimes he takes you right in the path of that hangry, crazy, demon-possessed guys. And you get to see it rain bacon off a cliff. And ain't nobody seen that before. And it's awesome. I want to tell you what we know. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for the benefit of those who love him. We all talk about karma, you reap what you sow and stuff. Yeah, I get that, that's true. You know, you do reap what you sow. That's in the Bible, right? But there's one little change to that. Those who love the Lord reap blessings even when they sowed crap. Because this Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for the benefit of those who love him. And what that means is you may have to be inconvenienced. You may have to lift up and move to Wodonga of all places. God might ask you to do something that doesn't seem just naturally right, the wise thing to do. But you step out in faith, and somehow when you gave that person your car, you got blessed as much as them. That's cool, right? Family in this church gave their car away last year or early this year in the worst financial year they'd had in years. Praise God, this year's better. Amen? Praise God. But you know what? Not just their finances changed. I know this couple very well. I love them to bits. And they gave away their car when they had the worst financial year, I think, probably since they got married, right? Let's give away our car. Thank you, Jesus. So they give it away. But not only are their finances better now, their marriage, their life, everything in their world has been blessed, okay? And it's incredible what God does and how God can take anything and bless you through it. Would you stand up with me? Because here's the thing I want to talk to you about now. There's some of you in here, and for so long, this thing that God's been speaking to you about, these inconveniences, maybe he's called you to do something and you've been afraid of the inconvenience. Maybe he's been speaking to you about that next step he wants you to take in your life. And somehow, for some reason, the inconvenience or the anxiety of it has scared you and worried you. Today, I want you to respond and come down the front and get prayer, because I believe with all my heart that today God's going to seal on your life what he said to you. He's also going to empower you and give you the courage to step out in faith and do what he's called you to do. Amen. If you wouldn't mind closing your eyes for a moment, we're going to come back later and talk to people who don't know Jesus. But right now, we're talking to you. If you're in here and you've been running away from that calling, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's changed the way you treat your husband, changed the way you treat your wife. Maybe it's changed the way you treat the people around you. Or maybe it's that you need to quit your job and start a business. Maybe it's you need to quit your business and start a job for someone else. I don't know. Maybe it's just, maybe you are called into ministry. Or maybe you're called to be a Connect Group leader, but you've been afraid of that for so long because you're like, I don't know that I've got what it takes, because then I'd have to rely on God instead of my own natural abilities and skills. I don't know what it is in your life that you've been running away from. Maybe God has told you, give that person your car, and you're like, I can't, I need my car. Maybe there's something else going on. Maybe it's give that person $100. Maybe it's give that person something. Maybe it's go stop, pray for that guy. Maybe you've got someone at work that's sick, and you feel like the Lord's saying, you need to pray for them. You need to pray for them. I want to tell you, the devil is not telling you to pray for the sick. That's the Lord speaking to you. So step out in faith and pray for them. And believe God to do big things in their life, miracles in their lives. But today, we're talking about becoming responsive to Jesus. And so if you've had something on your life and right now you probably feel the Lord speaking to you about it. In fact, after the last service, a bunch of people did come up, but I had a couple of people come and say, I was supposed to go down the front too, but I didn't. If you know, just put your hand up while no one else is looking around. Close your eyes, no one looking around. If you know that God's speaking to you about something, that He's been calling you to do something, say something, change something, but you've been unable to bring yourself to do it, would you lift up your hand and show me who you are? I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, I can't count anymore. A bunch of hands everywhere. Hands all over the place. Hands all over the place. You can pop your hands down, but here's what I want to challenge you to do. It used to be one more night with the frogs. That's what we said. This time I want to say, don't stand back here, hanging out, waiting for something to change in your life, when right now you know what God's spoken to you about. And if you step out in faith and do that, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. Things will work out better. Things will change. So what I want you to do today is to have the faith and the courage to symbolically walk away from your disobedience to what God wants you to do and step into the obedience of what God wants you to do. Because when we're in obedience to God, when we're in the center of God's will, no matter how scary it seems, when we're in the center of God's will, it's the safest place we could ever be. So if you're in here and you lifted your hand up, what I want you to do right now is come straight down the front. Straight down the front. Don't worry, there was like 30 people. So come straight down the front. Come on, yeah, come on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, my team, my leaders, if you're a Connect group leader and you're not down the front for prayer, I'd love it if you would come down the front and pray for people, okay? Because a lot of people down here. So if you're a Connect group leader and or a leader in church, would you come and pray for people down here and pray that God would seal upon their hearts the conviction of what He spoke to them. Help them step out of disobedience and into obedience, and may they see the fruit and the blessing of the decision they've made today. Amen? May they see the fruit and the blessing of the decision they've made today. Praise God. Lord God, I lift up everyone down the front here to You before we even begin to worship, Lord God. I pray that right now, just from that symbolic movement, just from that step of faith, that Lord God, that You would just seal on their heart right now. Faith would rise as they know that from this moment on that everything's going to be different. Everything's going to be different. You will provide every need, Lord God. They'll never, ever be cursed because of faith, Lord God. They can only ever be blessed by having faith in You. In the name of Jesus, seal that upon their hearts in Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship the Lord as the team comes to pray.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.